Warning. The Surgeon General warns. Cigarette smoking is dangerous. Dangerous. Hazard to your health. Does that mean anything to you? Them legalize marijuana.
All right, greetings, Massive. This is Lance Ho on your video today. And of course, we're also doing your audio, so we're on your radio. It is our weekly podcast, courtesy of Culture Shock Radio. It's called Shockwave. And today we introduce a very, very, very dear and special guest to my heart. She's the head of the Peter Tosh Legacy and Brand, managing member of Tosh Holdings LLC, board chairperson for the Peter Tosh Foundation, and president of PT Capital LLC. These are just some of her roles. Obviously a very busy woman, and we are honored to have you here, Naomi Tosh, the daughter of Peter Tosh, for part of our International Peter Tosh Day celebration. And of course, it's also known as 420. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Lynn. So it's a pleasure to be a part of the program.
Well, great. Now, let's briefly just go through each of your professional roles with your father's different entities that you guys have set up. Tell us a little bit first, as in order, you know, what is the head of the Peter Tosh Legacy and Brand? What does that actually mean?
Yeah, that literally just covers it all, you know, and my responsibility is really to carry on my father's legacy. And so the responsibility is really to seek opportunities where I can either find partnerships or business opportunities or philanthropic work that really embodies his message and things that he would stand for. And so I'm always looking for creative partnerships and new platforms that allow us to reach new audiences and new generations.
Boy, you just created like 20 more questions. No. okay, so on... As we continue, managing member of the Tosh Holdings LLC, and, you know, explain a little bit more of what Tosh Holdings is as well.
That's the kind of parent company, where it's helped by all of my siblings and I, you know, the beneficiaries of the estate. And so that's really the entity that is kind of the top.
Okay.
Top the matriarch of all the other companies.
Okay. Board chairperson for the Peter Tosh Foundation, which seems like the one that's being put out there the most, from my understanding. It seems like the entity of the Tosh family and of under your father's name that seems to be the most present and the most relevant or the one that I should say is put out there to the public the most. So what is it about that that makes that the entity kind of a sort of a face of the family?
Well, you know, my father used his music to try to make change in the world. And it was very, very important that that be our kind of foundation in the real sense, not only as a nonprofit, but the foundation of how we embark into the professional world and into the corporate world. And so, you know, you may not like when we go into some of the other entities, that's really, you know, there's some connections back to the foundation. We always try to see how we can, you know, do social entrepreneurship, you know, a way where you're geared at trying to, you know, create some economic benefit for the family, but also doing good for society. And so the nonprofit really has five initiatives, and it's the Peter Tosh Museum, Justice for Jawara, Justice for All, which is geared towards criminal justice reform, you know, based off of a personal story that I'm sure we can get in at a different time if necessary. And then also Legalize It, which is all about educating people about the benefits of cannabis and social equity within the cannabis industry. Can't Blame the Youth, that's that connection, that bridge to the younger generation, and using his music to do so. And then Equal Rights and Justice, which is really continuing to have an influence on equal rights and justice on a global level.
Oh my God, this could go on for days. I mean, literally, there's so much. which is good, which is great though, because you know, the more the merrier, and the more that through all these different entities that people can actually get involved and help and continue the message and the music and the outreach that the foundation is trying to do. It's you see, I'm learning so much already, and I'm, you know, I'm such a huge fan, and you know, I for me, I owe everything to Peter in my book. You know, that's just how it is for me, because it was the first song I heard, the first album I heard, the first reggae I ever heard, and you know, and I was lucky I got to meet the man several times. And so, you know, it's great to hear all this, Niambia, and I really do commend you on all that you're doing. And I'm sounds like I don't even know a quarter of it, but you know what I do. You know, you know, there's a role of the president of the PT Capital LLC, which you know, I don't know how important it is to discuss that, but if you want to say a little something in regards to that, that would be fine. If not, I understand.
Yeah, definitely. PT Capital is our cannabis arm. And you know, okay, as my father said, legalize it and I'll advertise it. It only makes sense that we seek out opportunities to get into the cannabis space. And so it's important for just protection that we have an entity that has that focus in mind.
Okay, because I know there's also the part that you guys are trying to fight for, the medical marijuana, and I know that's a kind of somewhat.
Yeah, that's all under the nonprofit. Yeah.
Okay.
All geared at the nonprofit. So this is more of getting into the business space of cannabis.
Business space. And since we're talking about it, what is the cannabis arm of PT Capital?
We are launching a brand, Scene, by Peter Tosh, and it's really the fact, you know, has a double kind of meaning, where Scene is a word that my father used very often. Yeah. In Jamaican patois, and but also this industry that is that we are embarking on in this cannabis legalization world is really a vision that my father had seen long before. You know, it's something that he saw before his time. And so we are working to make sure the brand embodies his vision.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, I mean, he was definitely, I mean, he put his life on the line for that, you know, many times. And so I kind of want to go back and discuss some of the things that you talked about under each of these entities. So what type of, yes, you know, briefly, what type of partnerships are you embarking on at the moment that might be in, you know, interesting for our viewers and our listeners?
Well, right now we're focused on International Peter Tosh Day, and that is actually April 20th. 420, a day that had already kind of had this this cannabis culture around it. Mm-hmm. And you know, we as a family thought that it would only be right to really claim that day as International Peter Tosh Day. My father stood for so many things. You know, he was definitely an activist, anti-apartheid, equal rights and justice, and was just socially conscious. But he embodied really what cannabis activism should look like. You know, he as you said, he not only talked the talk and sung about not only the medicinal benefits, but also the economic benefits. You know, you look at a song like Bush Doctor, you know, where he says it's going to build up a failing economy, you know? And so I think that I'm happy that we have this day to really celebrate his contribution to the movement, you know, and the song Legalize It was written in 1975, but released in 76 and banned on the radio in Jamaica. And that was so many years ago. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing that, you know, his testimony about it, the medical benefits is 100% accurate, you know, so he was a man before his time.
For sure. And, you know, and I really, really, this particular program, I think, is very relative to what you're saying, because it's kind of basically our contribution to this International Day of Peter Tosh and the 420 culture. So I'm glad to see that's a focus, and I love the idea. I mean, I never spoke to anybody about it, but when I heard the announcement, it made total sense to me, and it's great to see that it's being embraced. You know, it's obviously going to take time to cross those cannabis culture entities to recognize it as not only is it 420 April 20th, but it is International Peter Tosh Day. And it makes a lot of sense. And I commend you on that alone. As something as small as that compared to everything else you do, it's great though. Is there particular platforms that are geared solely at continuing his legacy, and what shape and form are those platforms?
Yes, that's a big question. I guess when we look at social media platforms, mm-hmm. We have, you know, the @PeterTosh for Facebook, mm-hmm. for Instagram, for Twitter. We have an official YouTube page. And so for Instagram and Facebook, people can tune in, and actually we're going to have a big celebration for right. International Peter Tosh Day, right. and the new app Clubhouse that is definitely buzzing. So definitely down, you know, all your listeners can download and tune in on 420. But we also have, like I said, we have the museum, which is right. a platform that we use to continue on his work as well.
That's and that's in Jamaica. And I know that just recently, relatively speaking, launched, you know, being 2021, what was like 2 years ago that officially launched, correct?
Yeah, it was a little bit more like around 2015, I want to say.
Oh, it was actually, okay. But when was the opening? When was the opening?
So speaking of platforms, that's another platform, is that we have the Earth Strong, you know, every year. And, right. and since 2015, the Peter Tosh Earth Strong celebration has been hosted at the Peter Tosh Museum. And so that is a 4-day celebration that starts with a symposium at the University of West Indies. You know, my father always used the word edutainment. And so it was important that his celebration really embodied that. And so we also did a gala as well, where we have an award ceremony with people that have been inspired by his music, but and contribute to the world in their own way, and with a spirit of Peter Tosh. So we do like a Legalize It Award, a Bush Doctor Award, an Equal Rights and Justice Award there. And then we go on to the next day, which is the concert. And we've had great, great musicians contribute to the concert, you know, Chronix, Taurus Riley, some Word, Sound, and Power, the original band. Mick Jagger even did a video celebratory video for us for the opening of the museum. And so we've had so many, Marcia Griffith, Andrew, it just goes on, Bushman, have all been partaken in that. And then the last day is what I think, one of my favorites as well is the retreat where we take a trip to Belmont, which is in Westmoreland. It's a seaside town where my father's mausoleum is, and it's all about really being closer to his essence. You know, that's where he went for his tranquility, and it's his birthplace. And so coming together to kind of connect in that way.
Yeah, that's Bluefields too, correct?
Yeah, okay, and
that was at his mother's house, correct?
Correct, yes. Right.
Yeah, I actually went there, and I actually met her and saw William. Yeah, it was loved it. And tell us where, for our audience, where is the museum actually in Kingston?
It's at 38 Trafalgar Road. It's at Pulse Center. Okay. And so it's literally around the corner from the Bob Marley Museum.
So it's in conjunction with Pulse then, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes. It was a partnership with Pulse, and you know, allowed us to have that amazing space to really showcase the artifacts.
Nice. Okay, great. You know, and speaking of artifacts, where is the world famous M16 gun guitar?
That's exactly where it is. And so, you know, okay, it's not a myth. It really exists, and we have it in the family.
Oh, nice.
And so it's great that people can go to the museum to see it live and in color, along with you know, handwritten lyrics, tour jackets, some gifts that my father received from around the world. Okay. And then they can really learn a lot about just his life story, from his experience growing up to experience with the Wailers, as well as his solo career.
Is the unicycle there as well?
There is unicycle there as well.
Nice. Okay. Those are kind of, for me though, the M16 guitar and the unicycle were the ones that kind of stood out for me. You know, so that's great to see. And it's, you know, it's definitely, on my tops of my bucket list, you know, to get down there. And I'd love to just do it when, it happens, like, you know, when it's the Peter Tosh, you know, celebration week, you know? And I know it's been discussed, but one of these days it's going to happen. So talk a little bit more in detail on some of the social and community benefits of the Peter Tosh Foundation that was brought together. I think it was, 2017 you guys created that actual foundation? Right.
Yeah, the foundation was launched actually a little bit before 2017.
Okay.
It was 2016, I want to say.
Okay.
And then there's been initiatives that have been launched after, and the 2017 initiative was really around justice for Jawara, justice for all. And that's when my father's youngest son, Jawara McIntosh, also known as Tosh One, when he was incarcerated for cannabis possession and then later attacked by another inmate. And so he had suffered devastating injuries, and which, you know, years later led to his death. And so that initiative is really has a strong focus with criminal justice reform. You know, my family isn't someone that's been in and out of the criminal justice system, and to see how someone that is a follower of Rastafari, a father of four, full of life, you know, and energy, but really just a positive spirit, can succumb to you know, a system that really just has failed so many people. And, you know, we've had the privilege to have a platform to share his story, but so many others do not.
Right.
And so we continue to share his story with us.
And I know you guys have through that initiative that, you know, you guys have, and maybe you can explain a little bit more, but, you know, trying to attack the prison conditions, prison reform, and, you know, obviously, I think the one of the biggest things I think is the cannabis law reform and trying to create change. So other people, because you look at it now years later, it's practically legal everywhere. And he was in prison for something, you know, he went away and ended up dying because of something that is now legal, which,
exactly.
You know what I mean? I don't know if there's anything you might want to talk about or highlight, and maybe can even say what people can do, because there are definitely cannabis, you know, people out there that would love to get involved, you know, and I mean, there's all kinds of branches with Normal who I've done stuff with, but you can maybe specifically talk about some of the ones that you guys are, what's on more on your agenda, because you guys are so personally affected by some of these ancient old laws that really serve no purpose and are creating more detriment to society than it probably is any good in these days and times. It just seems so archaic at some point that you know, when are these lawmakers going to wake up and really smell the cannabis?
I love it. No. it's definitely been an ongoing battle, and we've partnered with the Last Prisoner Project. Mm-hmm. And that organization has we've really done a successful job at actually getting cannabis prisoners out of jail. It's been remarkable this year, the success there. And so you know, on our end, I continue to use every platform to share his story. I think it's very important that people support, you know, organizations like the Peter Tosh Foundation, as well as, you know, the Last Prisoner Project, Minorities for Medical Marijuana,
right,
because these are people on the front lines that are literally advocating for our for the rights that we know that we believe in, and for a system of equity and change that a lot of us don't have the time to really, you know, be a full-time activist. We can know the information, we can support it and do a post, but we have to put our dollars with where our heart is, you know. And even if it's, you know, a few dollars at a time, you know, it's people that are literally eat, sleeping, and shitting their work every single day that are the ones that make the change that we see today. And so I would definitely urge everyone to support.
Yeah, definitely. And I was just curious, do you have a number for this year or to date of how many prisoners you've actually gotten or helped get released from prison for cannabis charges?
There's been a few, I don't know the exact number. It's been this Last Prisoner Project is really on the front lines with, there's been a few that have made, Michael Thompson that have made, like, you know, national, news, but there's constantly, change. And I would say that there's been an increase. So the momentum is picking up, you know, Congress and is really becoming aware of some of the issues that exist and really trying to make a shift and make a change from the past, you know. And but it's trickling in and it's definitely building up momentum. And so I couldn't give an exact number, but, you know, I can definitely get back to you on it.
No, that's fine. I just thought it might be, you know, if it was something significant. Do you, are you happy with the direction that the reform is going with the change, or do you see it as a, you know, another way that Bobby Lonitz getting its hand in on something they, you know, are trying to control, as like so many other things that they try to do?
Right. I am always appreciative of change in the right direction. Mm-hmm. But it does take some level of hindsight and some, and, you know, my father would definitely know that there isn't enough, we're not at the place where we can just, you know, celebrate and be happy. Mm-hmm. Because we still have people incarcerated for cannabis. We still see that access to the plant, you know, there's a huge initiative trying to target the legacy market, the, you know, the founding, the fathers that have, the founding fathers that have created this industry that we have now. It's, you know, our original Rastaman, our Black and Brown communities that have really allowed this industry to be what it is. And so, unfortunately, there is a heavy hand at play trying to demonize the individuals that made it possible. And so there is a lot of work to be done to make sure that those individuals can be included into the industry and really have the right, and consumers can have that freedom of choice, you know, and don't have to go to a expensive dispensary that puts on, you know, a ton of tax. And, you know, people can have the right to grow their own and consume, you know, what level, how much, however many, you know, units of THC they want to consume. So there's lots of regulations out there trying to suppress our divine right to the plant.
Yes, of course. You know, and what, to what extent is Jawara and his spirit being kept alive in this capacity? Because I know that that appears to be where it like really got a lot of force. I know you guys have always been very much dedicated to cannabis reform, but with what happened with the unfortunate situation with Jawara, aka Tosh One, that the energy would, there became a little bit more focus and a little more energy behind the situation. Is there anything in particular that maybe uses his name or is part of something to continue his legacy as part of your father's in this sense as well?
Definitely a goal, you know, he is his own entity that we look to continue to carry on his legacy. And so looking to make sure that we, release some of his music. He has, you know, a great collection of music that we are actively working on, as well as, you know, other opportunities to really share, his story in different ways, you know, his journey from, even, you know, as, you know, we also have shared his celebration of life. You know, we came together as a family and that's available on YouTube, Tosh One Memorial. People can learn about who he is or was as a person. You know, that spirit that existed to see, and that was really important to not necessarily have focus on what had happened to him, but celebrate his life after he transitioned and really, honor him in that way and have it live in a space where the world can at least get to learn about him. And we plan to build on that with the website and continue to have people share their video testimonies about, and stories about him, because I think it's very important that, you know, his children, he has four beautiful children, can learn, continue to stay connected to him in new ways.
Right. Well,